Okay, welcome to Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 70. I'm C4.
And I'm Kovar.
And it's December 8th, 2004. We have a lot of good stuff this week about new games and whatnot. We've got some emails that we skipped over from last week because we were kind of sucked into EverQuest a little bit too much last week to do anything about anything else. It was nice to hear about World of Warcraft, though.
Yeah.
And I've actually been told that after listening to that show, some people said it sounded okay. Like, it sounded like a pretty good game, which is good, because it is a good game, and that's what I really wanted to get across, was they're both pretty good games, but they both, you know, they have their issues. But anyway, let's get started with the email here. We'll get back to that at some point in the next email, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. How convenient for us. All right, this is from Flank, actually. We got two from him. Let's see, this one is about the cell processor in the PlayStation 3s. Hi, C4PO. Star Wars fans will get it. All right. Thought you might be interested in this article. Now, I read the article. I'll put a link on the site so you can see it in the notes. And the article's kind of useless. It basically, five or six paragraphs, it boils down to, yeah, Sony wants to put their chip into TVs, and it's going to be, so they say anyway, it's going to be easier to program for than the PlayStation 2 chip, which apparently was really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to be very flexible and very easy to use.
Seems like a really powerful chip for a TV, though.
It does. I was told, well, the article did mention, though, that it was supposed to decode HDTVs, though. So, and it said 2006 was supposed to be when they were going to have them in some TVs and whatnot, which is, I'm sure, going to be right around the launch of the PS2. So I can just see this huge, or PS3, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see this big PlayStation 3 TV thing uses this same power. I could just see the marketing for this. Yeah. This is going to be great for them. Let's see. Reading the email here, the interesting part is that it will be used to drive television sets and so forth. This brings to mind some very interesting thoughts about what exactly Sony is expecting a TV to do. If you think about it, what good would an Xbox or PS2 chip be inside your current television sets? Some of the things that come to mind are decoding of streamed video via the internet, but beyond that, what else could there be? Unless, of course, we are going to see PS3-enabled televisions or televisions with built-in capacity to dump television shows to a hard drive or something. Either way, it's real interesting to see a massively powerful console chip inside a television, of all things. And it is, but I'm out of ideas, too. Beyond what he said here, I cannot find a feasible reason to put something like that in a TV.
Sony's always been into this crazy, you're... things do more than they normally do, like, yeah, those TVs that have the memory card slots and all kinds of crap. That's Sony's gig when it comes to the TVs and the laptops, those VIOs, things like that. I mean, that's always been how they kind of put themselves away from the general competition.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I'm sure that they're thinking of something.
It might not be all that much. It might be something simple. I mean... like the memory card slots in the TV. I mean, all that really does is you can see your videos on, or see your photos or whatever.
Which would be pretty cool, though. Like, if you had, what I want, I mean, like, they have TVs with DVD players in them, you know. They're usually crappy TVs, though. Once in a while, you'll find a fairly decent size one, you know.
They used to be the tapes in the...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the little 13-inch ones that, like, sit in the kitchen or the bathroom or whatever the hell, you know, yeah.
And they serve their purpose.
They do, but not for me. And what I would want to see, though, what I could see being useful is if this thing could decode DivX and many other formats, you know, everything that you can basically come across. If this thing, they set up to decode that crap. HDTV also.
And have to have a player.
Well, yeah, they could throw a you know, CD tray in there. You throw your disc in, because then you wouldn't need an external player for it. You know, you wouldn't have to hook your computer to the TV to watch a DivX, or if, you know, you have a standalone DivX CD, DVD player or whatever, you wouldn't need that. That would be really cool. Decoding HDTV signals, we're supposed to be HDTV. Well, they were supposed to do that in 2006, I believe. That's what the FCC said, but they delayed it to 2009 because we slack like hell, apparently. Yeah. So, and they're expensive. They're expensive still. Nobody wants to buy it. And they're going, well, why? You know, we don't have that yet. Well, we do. And if you assholes would go buy a new TV. It's like the guys buying DVD games. Right? And I actually wanted to talk about this. I even had a little note that I can't find out of myself. And remember to mention it because I had a few points that I wanted to bring up. But I've been seeing a lot of people buying EverQuest 2, the CD version. Right? Yeah. And you know what? I stop them and I say, do you realize? And sometimes if they're buying a brand new computer, you know what I mean? So it comes with a DVD drive. None of this CD-ROM bullshit. Their DVD ROMs and CD burners is what they're going to have, right? Or a DVD burner, you know, at the very least, something like that, just one drive. And I point out to them, I say, you know, there's a DVD version of this, and I tell them it's 10 CDs or 2 DVDs, and it takes like 20 minutes to install versus like an hour and a half.
And the less things to knit, to lose.
Yeah, and the box doesn't weigh like 8 pounds. Yeah, it's great. And you know what? Every single person I've told, which has actually been quite a few people, people buying it all day, I see them at work, they go back and they get the DVD version. And I've even heard a couple people that didn't even know that there was a DVD version out, and they, you know, they're like, man, I wish I would have bought, you know, my first copy as the DVD, because now I've got, you know, I'm going to have 2 copies here, and screw the CD copy I have, you know. So it's just kind of interesting to note that people aren't even, like, quite aware that there's even a difference. Now, on the same note, I guess there's a special edition of some Vietnam game. Vietnam something, one of the more popular ones. It was another one. Of, like, I don't know. They get lost
there's
in the mix to me.
Billion of
you know,
them.
Yeah, they're old war games, and that's a, whatever, it's one game to me, right, with like a lot of expansions or something. And anyway, I guess they had like a special edition come out, and it's on DVD only. Yeah, good job, but I've been seeing people come into the store to return them because they did not know that it was DVD only, and they don't have a DVD drive.
How do you not have a DVD drive?
I don't understand this, but apparently...
If this is a new game, how do you have a computer that runs it without a DVD drive?
I don't know. I really don't know.
My old computer, the one I replaced like a year ago, which I got in like 97 or 98, came with a DVD drive standard.
They all do.
Yeah, for years.
How old for years. Is this crap? That's what I can't figure out, is why is this crap still happening? But whatever, it's just something I like to keep tabs on for the show, because we keep mentioning DVD games, you know, so it's something I definitely like to bring up every so often. Now, Flank sent us another email. This one was about the last show, okay? Mm-hmm. The one that we did at World of Warcraft with Modem and EverQuest 2.
Right.
Okay, man, I am confused. I'm listening to episode 69 and hearing all the shit you guys are saying about the problems in RPGs, from bug crashes to general game rules, but how in God's name can you folks sit around for 45 damn minutes to play a game? Sure, I believe that the game is good, since you seem to spend so much time on them, but man, how in the hell do you wait that long? I don't know, but maybe it's just the exception, but I can tell you now, if I purchased a game and then had to not only take on board bugs and weird game rules, but most importantly had to wait in line to play, I would lose my fucking mind. Seriously, I would become a shepherd or something and tend to sheep just to escape the insanity. Tell me, how do you tolerate such bullshit? And then he actually sent another email that was something he just forgot to mention in this. He said, I forgot to add in my previous email, I've been thinking of giving these RPGs a chance since you guys say it's so good, but if it's normal to have to wait in line to play, I just can't do it. Tell me it isn't so.
I assume he's talking about the problem with World of Warcraft and not being LFG.
No. He's talking about...
He's just talking about...
The wait, the problem. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even consider that. I guess so.
He's probably talking about the problem WoW was having.
It didn't even occur to me.
We didn't even talk about looking for group.
We didn't. We might have mentioned it, maybe, but I'm pretty sure this is the World of Warcraft problem, which is mostly okay now.
Yeah, that was just a glitch.
Yeah, as I understand it, that's basically settled down. It took him a week or so, but you know what? It only took players a week or so to get to max level in that damn game, so it's already done for a few people.
But the way they have it set up... If the server is really busy and like on weekends and stuff, you may still forever have to wait like 5-10 minutes.
This is what they're doing.
It's just
regulate
the
login servers, and
that's just the way they have it set up.
Yes, this is So that's something you're gonna have to deal with. But it doesn't. like, it happens.
And that's with WoW. That's just the way that they decided to set up their login system.
I don't know how many servers they have that handle the login or whatnot, but I do know that EverQuest has 10 login servers alone that just handle the login, and I've never seen mine go past number 1 unless they were all down, where it cycles to them all and then tells you it can't connect. And this is one time this happened outside of a patch. You know, if you're patching, the servers are down, you can't connect.
That's on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. One time that happened, like, third day we had it, it was down for like 10 minutes,
yeah.
You know, and it was no big deal. It was just, you know, a big load hit the servers, and that was all they could do.
As far as looking for a group, that sometimes takes.
That's
a while,
different story. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can.
But there's other things to do while you're doing it.
But I'll tell you, in Final Fantasy XI, as good as a game as that was, the problem with it, there was a lot of problems, but waiting for the group is what killed it ultimately for me. Because I could have a good time and be pissed off still, you know, about the other things, but as long as I was with a group of people doing something, I was having a good time. But I would sit there for
days, literally
weeks,
yeah.
Literally weeks. And you think I'm exaggerating, I fucking play these games on, like, the least amount of time every single day is like 4 hours. That's on a day where I'm giving up sleep to play, okay? And then on your average, like, okay, on a day off, 18, 19, 20 hours, okay? Now imagine having nothing to do for those 20 hours but play this game, you know, and not wanting to do anything but to have a good time, and you're just sitting there in town, and you don't have any money because you can't go out and earn money with your guys, you know, with your friends or anything, or random people. You can't craft because you're broke. You can't do anything but wait, and that's what kills it. Now, I haven't had that problem in EQ. In EQ 2 yet, I have not had that problem. I look for a group for 10 minutes, and I'm picked up.
Well, that's because you're a really, really solid wanted class.
I guess. There's a lot of DPS out there, though.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of them. Like, we lose a tank or a healer, and we're like, oh, fuck. You're going to take 20, 30 minutes to find a guy. Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? We lose DPS, they got 3 guys that are standing there waiting for a DPS guy to leave, you know?
Well, yeah. That's because DPS is really popular. They like seeing those numbers.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of bummed about that. Compared to the Thief in Final Fantasy, I feel like I'm, like, doing nothing. I mean, like, all I do is kind of beat on things. And sure, it's nice to be able to do a lot of damage, but, like, in Final Fantasy, you had another purpose. You were hate control, and it was awesome. And you pulled, and you could do all this cool stuff. Now, the tank pulls, and I stand there and just beat on it, and it kind of sucks. You know, I mean, I'm having fun playing it, and way more fun than I would have anything else, but, like, it seems like I almost feel robbed of my class. Like, I want to go pull so bad, but because there's no good way to get the hate off right away, you can't. The tank has to go pull. So I feel like one of those assholes that just stands there in camp, waiting for the mob to come in, and then just to beat on it. And it's kind of weak. But I'm trying to...
The trick would be not doing a lot of damage for the pull.
That's bad. Yeah, but when I shoot something for 600... I looked at have you looked at the player site? Your character, remember for the first month when we signed up for our accounts, it tells you get all this extra crap for free, and you can pay like $1 a month if you want to keep it. It has your character there. And every piece of item that you have, everything that you've ever killed, items you've found, number of items you've found, number of things killed, number of quests completed, fucking everything about your dude, and max damage, and with what weapon it was. And I looked, and mine was 601 points of damage, and I was like, oh, yes! You know, that was cool. I'm trying to get myself for the whole damage thing, but it's just not as cool as doing something active, like the hate control it was in Final Fantasy, but it's still pretty cool. I get to pick the traps in the chest. That's a lot of fun. But, the hell are we talking about? Oh, yeah, waiting in line. Now, okay, well, the waiting in line thing we basically covered, but here's the thing. And this occurred to me last night. Now, I got with a guild, a group of people. There's like 12 of us or 13 of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the major reason I don't stand around waiting for a group anymore. If I'm out by myself, it's because I want to be now. If I need to do anything or if I just want to do something, chances are I could just be like, you know, hey, is anybody doing something? Yeah, come on down. We'll kick this asshole out and take in the guy from the guild. And I'm good to go. You know, so I don't have a problem with this. So far. Now, we can't get you in because you've had a bad week and haven't been able to play, so the guild hasn't been able to meet you and get you in, but it's really cool. A lot of fun. Haven't had to wait yet, but I did have a point to my little story, and I'm working on it. It's the story I told you before.
Right.
Okay, because this is good. Now, this was... Flank wants to know, you know, he said, tell me this is... The games aren't as bad as they sound. We made them sound pretty bad, but that was only because we didn't talk about any of the cool stuff at the time.
We kind of trashed both of them.
Which is... And they deserved it. They deserved it. They're both in, you know...
But they both also deserve praise.
They do. They very well do. You know, some more than others. A lot of that's opinion. You know, so we just haven't got to that yet. But we wanted to talk about how they were doing during the release week anyway. So, you know, it was basically a lot of complaints.
One thing I want to say real quick is the whole show is not this.
No. Yeah, this is going to be over as soon as I'm done with this story, and then we have a whole bunch of real actual games and stuff. So don't turn us off yet. Okay, so I was playing yesterday, and I was out with a group of random people. We wanted to go out for some experience. Now, this is why you should play these games, okay? Because I've found myself trying to play a single-player game, and while they're fun, you hammer them out in 10, 15 hours. There's your $30, there's your $50, and you're done. What do you fall back on? If it's a console game, and it's not, like, for the Xbox or PS2, chances are, you're done. If it's like a GameCube game, you're done. If it's a handheld, you're done. If it's a PS2 game, hopefully they have some kind of online, like SOCOM. That's the fun part of that game, not the single player. Xbox has a bunch of online multiplayer games. Great. That's where you're gonna wind up. Even some good RPGs these days, I'm playing, and it better have a knockout story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Suikoden 3 kept my interest, Xenosaga kept my interest, Tales of Symphonia didn't, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I get this feeling of, like, why am I even bothering playing this game? It's moderately entertaining, but, you know, even once I beat this, okay, the story wasn't so great that, like, I'm gonna remember this, or that I care for the next game, even. You know, like I do with, say, Xenosaga.
Right.
Okay? I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. In this, you play it for 10 hours, and you think to yourself, man, I got a couple points in this, and your character gets better, and you kind of, you know...
grow attached.
You really have to... You do. You get attached. And you really have to take in that you're in this giant world. And this is what did it for me. Yesterday, it finally clicked in my head. It's the randomness of... what would you call it? The human factor. The human factor, right? Okay? Because you cannot account for that on a single-player game. You've got AI that you figure out two or three times after you do that level or that same boss or the same type of creature.
Mm-hmm.
You play these kind of games and you're interacting with real people that sometimes are complete assholes, which is fun too, okay? Or that are way cool, which is great fun too, right? Now, we've added Ventrilo to the mix here, where we've got voice chat with our party, which is really cool. You know, you hold down a button and you talk, and then you can hear all your party talking with you, which is awesome. It's free software. You can have up to 8 people on the channel for free. It's really good stuff. I just got a little headset from Logitech for like $30 or whatever. Works perfect. It's USB. So anyway, I'm out with this group of guys that I don't know, and we wanted to go get some experience. We're out in the forest. It was a hell of a trek out to the place in the forest we were going to. As it was, we were fighting tooth and nail to get where we wanted to be. We're fighting all these tree ants and crazy stuff, creeping through the forest all scared as hell. We finally get to the camp. This is where we want to sit, which I noticed doesn't happen a lot in this game. Like Final Fantasy, everywhere you go and camp somewhere. You're there for 4 hours killing shit. In this, it's like a dungeon crawl. You're working your way down. That rarely happened in Final Fantasy. In this, you're progressing forward, so it feels like you're exploring stuff, not just...
Part of what makes that happen is the quick regen.
Yeah, it is pretty fast. It is pretty fast. It's a lot faster.
And you don't have to be sitting. So that, yeah. that the mages and everybody can move while they're regen.
Yeah, that's nice. They took that out, thank God, because it was in beta. You had to sit. Apparently they took that out in beta. But anyway. So, we're in the forest. We're killing these giant things. Now, imagine yourself. I mean, this is a gloomy, dark forest. You're out here with some dude on a horse, you know, some asshole cleric who thinks he's the world because he can heal people. You got, a couple smug guys that can do a lot of damage. They think they can take a hit, but you know they can't. Yeah. You got a weird, interesting group of people out here that you don't know, but, you know, you're having some friendly, conversation back and forth about whatever. You guys find this spot, you can't see through the trees to see the sky. You know, there's all kinds of creepy shit. The noise is getting to your head because you're hearing the bugs and the creepiness of the place. And then you feel you see the ground shake. And, we're looking around and there's these giant feet. All we can see now to the top of the trees is like just below the waist of these giants. So we start hacking down giants and it's just incredibly fun. And then, I start talking to the guys in the guild while we're killing some giants out here, me and these other guys. And they say, hey, we're going to go out and we're going to go do this quest for a couple of the guys in the guild. So why don't you join us? And I said, I'll join you in a little bit. Let me stay here for 20 more minutes. Go take care of some parts of the quest. They had 3 different parts of this quest to do, right? I was going to go join in part 2 and finish up 2 and 3 with them real quick. So, this is the boring part of the story, really. It's just out there, I'm killing stuff, Then I decide, okay, it's time to go meet up with the group, with the guild. So I go, tell the guild, hey, come get me, I'll be right there. Meet up with these guys, and we're out doing stupid shit, dumb quests. We're out there, finishing up some quests for some guys, some shit they had to do. And it was fun, though, for the guys that needed the quest already. Some of us have done it already, these guys hadn't. It was fun for them, they got some cool armor out of it, it made their day. It took us about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Well, then it's, midnight last night, and we're going, well, what are we going to do? Now, I know that I have till 4 o'clock a.m. playing time, because I gotta get up by noon to do this.
Right.
So I'm figuring, that's 4 hours that I can hang out with the guild tonight and go do something cool. So we decide, you know, after we do the quest, we're gonna go out and get some experience. So in my head, I'm racking up the experience I'm already gonna have. I'm thinking, yeah, you know, we're gonna get some pretty solid experience tonight, gonna get some decent loot, it's gonna be a good night, it's gonna be me and the group, and we're gonna have a good time, right? Now this is the part where this game shines, where these kind of games shine. This is where your plans get fucked up, and there's nothing you can do about it, and this is what makes it so fun, because you have stories that come out of it. So, we head back to town, all but one of our group members head back to town to get some supplies and shit, because we're about to go, you know, grind out for 4 hours some experience killing giants and whatnot, in a different part, not in the forest. So, one of our guys goes ahead. He says, I'll meet you there. So he heads out. Now, it's three zones over, and he's on this place called the Thundering Steps or some shit. And he's waiting at the dock for us, okay? When you zone in, you're on a dock because you took a boat there. Mm-hmm. Now, I got ahead of the group, so I was in front, like a zone or two of everybody else. And the guy that went there first went AFK for a while. So I'm cruising along, thinking I'm going to have some time to go shopping around some of the merchants that are in the front while I wait for the rest of the group to catch up. So I zone in, looking around. I need to find the merchant. Got to go buy some spring water, you know. I walk to the end of the dock, and there's this giant uber, well, at level 27, uber mob at the end of the dock. This giant blob, looks like the movie Sphere, looks like that thing, but it's watercolor, not gold, and it's like, and it can change its shape and form, and it's floating around. Now, I know where this thing spawns. It's towards the middle of the level, and I've seen it at its spawn point before, in this giant crater, you know? Mm-hmm. And some asshole decided to train it all the way to the zone-in.
This is a triple up arrow.
Red. Group times two mob.
That means that
12 people of level 35, it would be white. 12 people of level 35.
And then, okay, so if you're 35, that means...
It's an even match for 12 of you.
Right. Plus, it's actually several times harder than that because of the arrows. That's what those mean.
Yeah. So this thing is kicking some ass.
Like, if you were a level 35 double arrow, that would mean you're like...
You might be able to get hit three times.
Yeah.
Right? This thing is burly, okay? So, and the funny thing is, I started thinking to myself, how did this thing get here?
Why didn't it go back?
You know, I know why it didn't go back. Because when I walked up to it, I was able to see it, what it was doing. It was slaughtering people. Bodies were flying everywhere. Everywhere I looked, it was corpse of... somebody. And it was just mowed because we didn't know. We were zoning in and running down the dock, and it's straight shot for quite a ways, so most people hit auto-walking, go take a piss, grab a soda, bodies everywhere. So I'm freaking out. Oh my god, you guys. Now, what I didn't realize was I wasn't as far ahead of the group as I thought. So as I'm telling them, oh my god, they're zoning in. So I'm watching this thing slaughter people, left and right. I back up and I zone out. My group zones in and I hear them screaming now. We got voice chat, so we're like, oh my god. We got people laughing, going, oh, this is so funny. Well, then it turned on us. It aggroes, and you couldn't drop aggro with invis. Mm. So it's just running up and in the dock, killing people left and right. Hitting people so hard, one shot most of these people. It comes up to our cleric. Bam! Knocks her off the dock, into the water. Okay, now she's out in the ocean, and knocks her armor off. Her armor broke because she let it get so bad. Mm. And we were laughing and stuff, but it's not funny. It's kind of fucked up. We had one guy survive and kind of avoided aggro, so he's off on the beach now, just watching this massacre. My brilliant thinking is, I'm missing the action. I need to get back in the zone, right, and see this. What do? I zone in. Well, now, he's right on the zone-in spot, not a ways down. So I zone in. All I see is, you were hit for 700 points of damage. Next thing I know, I'm in the water looking at my corpse, looking at some fish. So, what the fuck do we do now? We had one guy survive, the Defiler, right? So the Defiler says, I'll train him away from the zone, okay? And all I'm thinking to myself is, what happened to my simple plan of getting some experience tonight? You know, and I'm thinking to myself, God, this blows. But it's kind of fun. It's entertaining. Something is happening that I didn't count on, that I did not... There's no way I could have known this was going to happen.
It sucks while it's happening, but once you get out of it, you realize that
it was cool.
It's kind of the meat and potatoes.
It is. It was really cool. So, I mean, to make a long story short, we ended up getting it away from the zone. We trained it away. Sacrificed the whole group. We got it away from the party. Everybody raised themselves.
Someone had to have trained it back, though.
We had our guy train it back.
No, back to the dock where you were when it came
back.
That's
what I'm saying. How did it get there? And so I started thinking about it, and I figured this thing hits so hard, there's no way anybody survived and brought it there one man. So I'm figuring there's a trail of bodies from his spawn to the dock. And as it wasted party members, it was, you know, slower man gets killed. You know, the halfling, it starts with the dead halfling, and you follow the trail up the tree to the guys that can walk faster. Until the one guy made it to the dock.
Well, I mean, when your father took it away...
Oh, and no, it just came back.
Instead of going back to its spawn point, it went back.
Yeah, it came back. Someone had to have trained it again. Yeah, I mean, but there was people going in and out of the zone. It was nuts, and it sucked ass, but it was so much fun. Because it was just like, you know, there was no way I could have known. I get raised, I'm in the water, I float out to get my body, you know, or my shard, and I get aggroed by some fucking octopus out there. So now I'm swimming back like hell. Our cleric, who revived ourselves, you revive at the dock. We couldn't revive, it would have killed us again. Once our defiler trained it away, we revived really quick to, reorganize. But then I aggroed the stupid octopus. I'm swimming like hell for the shore, and it's kicking my ass. I don't swim very fast, even though my swimming's maxed out at like 135 right now. So our cleric, who, mind you, doesn't have any armor anymore, comes out to heal me, heals me, gets aggro from that, whack! Dead in one hit. Thank God our tank is back. We ended up killing the thing. It leveled one of our guys, though, killing the octopus. And the thing comes back to the dock, and we just took off. We went around the long way. We got our defiler to revive herself. We got her, picked up her shard. We went back, started, you know, hammering out a little bit of experience. But we're an hour and a half behind now. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that was such crap. I got screwed out of some good experience, you know, and from having a good time. But that was so much more fun. Having something happen that I had no control over, had no way to know what was going on, it was a cool experience. This kind of stuff happens all the time in these games, you know. And that's what makes them a lot of fun. Not sitting there for hours killing the same creatures. That's not what's fun about it. And that doesn't always happen. You only do that when you want to. I get a ton of experience doing quests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've only sat there and done the grind like probably 6 or 7 times now for only like maybe 3 hours at a time.
And when you're doing the grind, it's not so much the fighting as the talking with your group.
Yeah.
And the guildmates and et cetera, et cetera. It's an interactive chat room.
It is. Funny shit happens though. You know, we're out there killing stuff just to end the night that I had. We're out there for 2 hours. And I can't remember what happened. Something happened where one of our guys, we didn't die. We pulled too many. We had to escape. So we escaped back to the docks. It's like a spell that I have, actually. And so we come back, and some group had gone into our camp and taken over our camp. Now, as it was, there was a little competition out there. We were all trying to kill these things because there's a named that spawns out there. And we actually got him every time that he spawned, as a matter of fact. And there was a group out there. So our defiler takes it upon himself to tell the guys to fuck off. And he's not nice. He doesn't go out there and he's like, hey guys, this was our camp. He goes, hey fuckers, you know, get the fuck out of our goddamn camp. And he was kind of a dick, and he just gets way too territorial about it. But it's funny as shit, so we're laughing though. And these guys are, you know, mad now that we got a guy out there who's a dick. So it's the funny things in the game, because we were like, look, you can't be our spokesperson anymore, you know, you can't go out and do this. And, you know, everybody's laughing and having a good time. And I didn't move. Well, there is something that's going to be patched in this real quick, because it is so good that it makes me want to become an Inquisitor just to have this ability. You can send somebody back to their bind point, regardless of consent or group status. Right? We didn't know this at first. We thought it worked only on group members. No. You can walk up to somebody and go, zap, and send them home. Anybody, as long as they're not, right? Yeah, as long as they're not in combat. So they're like, fuck you guys, we're staying here. So we let them finish their fight so they're out of combat, right? They send their tank in to go grab another one. In between, when he leaves the group to go pull the other giants, our Inquisitor casts whatever the hell it is on their healer. Right? So their tank comes back into camp and there's no fucking main heal. We're laughing. We all in this. So that we're just hiding out, laughing like hell, while it's just chaos in the middle of this group now. You see him running around. They're whatever the hell he was. I didn't even get to see what their secondary heal was, but he could not keep it up. They barely survived this fight. And they're like, looking around going, what the shit happened? It was so much. I mean, it was a good time. It was had by all. You know, I mean, it was 4 hours of so much fun, and we only ended up sitting there for like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are the things that make these games so great. The hard part is finding that the game that is easy, like for you to play, like something that works around your schedule, something that fits your style of play. A lot of people don't like the fantasy stuff, so World of Warcraft isn't going to do it.
Yeah.
EverQuest isn't going to do it. Final Fantasy is not going to do it, but you have other options. There's Star Wars Galaxies.
The Matrix Online.
Yeah, I mean, there is other options. My only suggestion would be to try to watch as many videos as you can find and try not to read the forums. Every forum for every game is people bitching and complaining, and it's all their retarded opinion. just like us. So don't listen to anybody. You gotta go out and see it for yourself. The shitty thing is if you missed out on the betas, you're paying for it. You're gonna drop $50 on a game that you're gonna play for a month.
They need to start doing like week
trials right away, not way later. Yeah.
And then like maybe that client shuts off. You can't use that client after you have to go buy it.
Yeah, something like that would be fantastic. So enough about EverQuest. I just wanted to tell that little story though. You know, what I mean. And try to get people to understand why these kind of games are so much fun. You feel like you accomplish stuff when you're there. And, you know, you're just fucking around. You know, it's D&D with graphics. You know, it's good stuff. And we got another email from Rybo. And this was the one that we mentioned last week that we skipped over because we were focusing last week on World of Warcraft and EverQuest. He's got a fantastic review of Metal Gear Solid 3 here, giving us some non-EQ content, he says. So. Okay. Fuck Halo. Fuck Grand Theft Auto. Fuck Evercraft. This game on the game on everyone's lips should be Metal Gear Solid 3. What a way to start an email. Fuck everything. Okay. Let me explain. These Metal Gear games are all about story, and the story this time around is the best one yet. Without giving anything away, all I can say is it takes place in the 60s, involves Snake, or at least a version of him, longtime fans of the series will know what I'm talking about, and has more espionage than a Tom Clancy novel. Think of it as a cross between Rambo, any of the 60s James Bond movies, and classic Metal Gear Solid techno babble. Speaking of Bond, the entire game is very Bondish, right down to the opening credits featuring Bond-style montages and a brassy 60s-style soundtrack, complete with a Bond girl, a classic over-the-top Bond villain, and Gadget Man Q, except this time he's called Signet. Now keep in mind, none of this is a knock against any of the game. In fact, Hideo Kojima and crew, that's the guy, that's like the man, and crew can give even the, man, this, I'm sorry, it's like half a page, it's hard to read. The best Bond movie, debate amongst yourselves, my pick is From Russia with Love. A run for its money in terms of style, story, and overall coolness. And he's right. I think the story for these and like all the little gadgets and shit is awesome. Better than most of the movies, probably because it's interactive and lasts longer. But what would a Metal Gear Solid be without its cool cast of characters? Snake, of course, is always one badass, even if he's a bit of a rookie this time around. Vulgan plays the stereotypical psycho villain. For comic relief, there's Ocelot. Yes, that Ocelot from Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2. I remember that guy. Who appears as a very young version of himself, and of course there's Eva, the double agent Bond girl who is, well, hot. Oh, well, that's the important part, see? But the MVP of this game, hell, for the Metal Gear Solid series, goes to a character called The Boss, who is Snake's mentor. The character is one bad motherfucker and ain't fucking with her shit. Yeah, that's right, I said her. Gameplay is the same stealth combat you're used to in previous Metal Gear Solid games, with a ton of new cool stuff to mess around with. First off, there's no radar. In order to detect enemies around, there's a series of gadgets ranging from a heartbeat monitor to a motion detector. I like that. Damn, that is really cool because the radar always took me out of it in that game.
Yeah.
I found myself staring at it most of the time. Neither is as good as the radar from the previous games, but when used together, it serves as an okay substitute. All gadgets this time around use rechargeable batteries, so you have to use your equipment sparingly, which adds a certain strategy to the game, especially during boss battles. Speaking of which, the boss battles in this game are insane. There's one battle with a sniper in particular that has you playing a game of cat and mouse. Yeah, you're the mouse. Throughout a few zones, it is one of the highlights of the game. The equipment is carried in a backpack this time, and you only have 8 different pieces out at a time, which adds a certain reality to the game, but the space in your backpack is endless. The same goes for weapons, which have been made much more realistic than in previous games. You can fire your gun normally, but in order to make accurate shots, you have to switch to first-person mode, like in Metal Gear Solid 2, and aim carefully through the sights. No more laser guided shots. It's the 60s, remember? The good news is, with certain rifles and submachine guns, you can shoulder mount and aim much like a first-person shooter game. Since stealth is key, you probably won't do a lot of shooting unless you like long, drawn-out firefights. If there's one complaint I have about this game, is that everyone is way too resistant to bullets. Snake doesn't take that much damage when shot, and neither do the enemy guards, making headshots is quite difficult but crucial, as it's the only way to quickly dispose of a guard. You do get a silencer, but unlike in previous games, this game This time, the silencer degrades the more you use it. When it hits 0%, it breaks. Silencers are scarce, so it forces you to choose your shots more carefully. Much has been made in the previews about the whole snake eater portion of the game, which basically requires you to hunt and capture your own food. If there's one major departure from the previous series, this is it. And trust me, it's for the better. Health is no longer magically regained by eating rations and food found lying around. You slowly regain health depending on how full your stamina bar is. This time, you have a stamina bar in addition to your health bar that you must keep at full strength. Stamina determines how many things, including how much air you have when you swim, how accurate your shots are, how quickly you regenerate health. You gain stamina by eating anything that slithers, crawls, or swims around. Don't panic. There's a ton of different little critters to eat. The thing is, some food is better than others, and you're not sure how Snake will react to the meal until he's eaten it. Some animals or bugs are poisonous and take away from your stamina rather than regain it. Certain animals are also vicious and can bite you in the process if you're capturing it. Spiders, snakes, and scorpions are especially dangerous and aggressive. It's actually a lot more fun than it sounds to stalk and capture your own food, and actually adds to the whole survival aspect of the game. Another cool survival portion is what I like to call the Rambo bit of the game, in which you have to stitch up your own wounds and dig bullets out of your flesh with your knife. Jesus. When shot, stabbed, or blown up, your health bar sometimes goes red. This means you have to take out a first aid kit and stitch yourself up. There's a variety of limited equipment you can use to do this, including disinfectant bandages, splints to mend broken bones if you fall from a distance, ointment for burns, styptics to clot blood so you don't bleed to death, even a cigar to burn leeches off your skin. You also get a limited supply of medicine to help you with various poisons, food, venom, etc. It's very cool stuff. When you run out, you can forage around in the jungle for more supplies. Some plants can be used as splint, hornet's nests contain honey, which you can use in place of ointments, etc. Speaking of supplies, there's some optional stuff you can do around the jungle in order to help you along your quest. Occasionally, you'll run across an enemy outpost, which you can avoid entirely and continue on your way, or you can raid it for supplies and then blow it up with TNT. This actually affects how the enemies react to you as you continue in your mission. If you've blown up a few food depots, the enemy soldiers will be hungry, and you can throw food to them in place of shooting them. Holy shit.
Whoa.
If you blow up a few weapon depots, the enemies will run out of bullets and switch to sidearm and eventually switch to knife, which makes dealing with them much easier. All of you Xbox fanboys who complain about how the PS2 has shitty graphics need to shut the fuck up right now. This game is absolutely gorgeous. Fuck Halo, wait until you see the water effects, environments, and character models in this game. Even I didn't think the PS2 was capable of this, and I'm a Sony whore. The soundtrack is absolutely amazing as well, as it has a very distinct 60s spy flick sound. The voice acting is excellent too. David Hayter reprises his role as Snake and is as badass as ever. This is the best PS2 game out right now. Period. End of sentence. Now, if you excuse me, I have to get back to saving the world. Now, that was an awesome review. Thank you, Rybo. That was exactly what I wanted to hear about this game.
Yeah.
I wanted to know each and every little detail about that game, because what kept me from playing it was not being able to discover these things in, like, a review or an article or something that I found online or videos and whatnot. It just doesn't tell you flat out, this is how it works. You know, it looked a lot like Metal Gear Solid 2 to me, with better graphics and even more complicated button system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of breath. That was fat, though, and I want to play this so bad now.
It does look good.
It sounds incredible. And the amount, the way that everything reacts to you and the way, again, it's making it more realistic.
Mm.
If what you do has some kind of effect on that, that is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that is really cool. And
yeah, that food depot thing is really cool.
You know, yeah, that is neat. I like that. That was slick. That was a good thing to do. You know, I like that. Also, the fighting, when I played the demo of that, holy crap, man, I could not win one gunfight. And it's not so much that, like, you know, your guy was gimped. It wasn't like your bullets don't do any damage. It was the eyes. You just, it's not that kind of a game. You're not going to be running around Doom style, you know, boom, headshot everything.
Boom!
You know? Yeah, you're not going to have that. You know, you don't do that. So most of it relies on stealth, which is so cool. Because you're creeping around and you're really trying hard not to get into a fight, because it gets in your head that I can't fucking fight these things. These guys will beat my ass. It's an amazing series, and this is far and away, I mean, just from what I've seen, which is extremely little, it looks like the most amazing game on the PlayStation 2. It really does.
I do also really like the removal of the constant radar. I mean, that's...
Yes.
It's good to have some kind of radar that you can check and whatnot, because otherwise the game would be almost impossible.
It's hard. You can turn it off in the other ones. At least in two. You could turn it off. Which I couldn't imagine. Because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard knowing where and which direction the enemies are facing. But this gives it a whole new level of realism, though. Where you don't just know which way he's facing. You know, you probably actually have no idea which way he's facing. Like, in the other one, seriously, you had a... Did you see it? Yeah, you knew which way he was facing, so you knew it was safe to go, you know, running out from underneath the table or whatever, you know. Not knowing, that's gotta be awesome. That's the kind of game, though, that you're gonna play that, like, if I was to play, I could not play it like I play something like, say, Sly Cooper, where I got, like, the TV on or whatever. You know, like, I'm watching a movie, and I'm downloading shit, I'm watching in between, and I'm just playing along and having a good time. Mm. This is something you would... Lights out, phone unplugged... You know
white
what I mean?
Knuckles around the controller.
Yeah, yeah. Lay on the floor or wherever the most comfortable place for you is, on the couch, the chair, whatever. That is going to be the spot. I think that kind of game is definitely good stuff. I don't care who the fuck it is, we're recording. So, I don't know. Metal Gear Solid, honest to God, though, it does look like the best game going on PS2 right now. But there is some awesome shit coming out. You know, let's skip the crap news we had. Well, you know what, let me blow through it. Because I think we're gonna, we've got, yeah, like 45 minutes left, and we've got games to talk about. Mm-hmm. So, as far as the news goes, the DS has sold over 500,000 in 6 days in Japan already.
Yeah.
Which is looking good. I don't know what it did for here, but it did really well here too, I understand.
Everybody that was saying that the PSP was gonna blow it out of the water.
Well, what happened? When does that... What's the deal with the PSP anyway? Do we know?
No idea.
Yeah, we'll wait and see what happens with that. I don't know. So, but still, it's good to hear the DS is doing good, though.
Well, that means the DS has got to have sold at least 1 million copies so far.
I've personally seen 3 sold. I rang some guy up for him one day. So. That's all I've seen. But, and you know what? Our little demo model out there in the store, some assholes got their pen scratches all over the little part of it, so I'm really curious at how durable that touchscreen part of it is, so... Yeah. And I need to look into the marketing of that DS and find out if there's some kind of crazy shit going on. Because I as I understand it, there's some kind of weird marketing behind this in Japan. And I haven't seen anything about it, but I haven't been looking. Mm. Basically, my computer has been dedicated to fucking EverQuest. I mean, seriously.
So, even while you sleep.
You know, even while I'm asleep. What a pisser that is. And what else? Oh, Sony released... Oh, I don't even know where I wrote that one on my notes. Sony had released a demo disc with a bug... On the, oh, here we go. Holiday 2004 demo disc. They sent them out to the place, with the PlayStation Underground, and there's a bug in the Beautiful Joe demo on there.
True?
Yeah. It erases your fucking memory cards.
Oh no!
Yeah, so, and I saw it on their forum a while back, and it was just nuts. People talking about it. I don't remember how I came across it. I think I was at the site and saw the consumer alert warning thing and was like, I wonder what this is. And then, of course, it made some huge sites. It made Slashdot and it was over. And anyway, I'm sure everybody saw, but they're giving away free games to make up for it. And it's not crap. Well, not all of them. I mean, but there's some new stuff, like ATV Off-Road 3. That's brand new. I just saw somebody pay 30, 40 bucks for it at work. Sly Cooper 2 was on that listing. There was a couple other ones, too. So, I actually couldn't get the list because the fucking site was down, but...
I wonder if I could go there, even though I'm not a part of PS Underground. Just be like, yeah, this happened to me!
You gotta send them the disc. The number you have to call is... Dude, I know I wrote it down. 800-345-SONY. Call them. They'll give you details. You know, they're not asking you to send in your memory card because there's nothing they can do. It's gone, okay? But I guess they want you to send them the disc. And you send them the disc... Tell them what game you want. Tell them, you know, how happy you are now with them and that this was the right way to go about fixing this.
That is a pretty good way to go about fixing it.
It really is.
I mean, there's only so much they can do.
I would be so pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have one memory card. It's like, that's it. I mean, I have more, but I use one. They hold a lot of crap, you know, and yeah. I've got, like, my final save for Xenosaga, my final save for Suikoden. You know, I would not go through and play that stuff again. As good as they were, I wouldn't want to yet, anyway. I will in some years, but I need those saves for the next games that come out. Yeah. They're going to read those saves.
And not to mention, it's a little tangible, well, not so tangible, but it's a little it's a little piece of what you did.
It is, it is. I like hanging on to that stuff. Yeah. I would be really, really pissed, you know. So that's it for basically the new stuff. As far as games go, real actual meat and potatoes of the show here. You know, we do this once in a while, talk about video games and stuff. It's crazy when that happens. So, Mario Party 6.
They need to quit making these.
They're fun games. This one looks like the graphics are pretty amazing. They added two new guys and some little gimmick for the story. Something about the sun and the moon. And both of them are... They're in some kind of a battle, the sun and the moon. Mm-hmm. But you can play them now. And then I guess that affects the game board. And if anybody doesn't know who this is, it's a cool party game, though. And I think the reason they keep making it is because it's limited on... You know what I mean? Like, if you and I were to sit here and play... You, me, Wolf, and Hunter, say, sit here and play fucking... You know, Mario Party 4 or 5 for weeks on end, because it is fun. They are fun games. Mm. And we would sit there and play them for weeks on end. We would eventually see all of the minigames.
Right.
We would know who's better at which minigame. We would get kind of tired of the whole, you know, okay, well, we know that you're going to win this. It's still fun, but, you know, hey, a new one comes out. 80 minigames in this one, two new characters, day and night cycles. You know, it's a little to keep you going. It's, I mean...
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as... There's nothing else that's this good, though. There was Fusion Frenzy for the Xbox. That tanked. That did terrible. It's for $10 now. Brand new sealed at real retail stores. It's $10. Mm. And what was the one from Sega? Sonic something.
I don't know.
I remember trying to play it, and there was like a fucking like 13-minute load time. You know, like...
Oh.
Like between each... game. It wasn't that bad.
But I know, but still.
It was, seriously, you roll the dice, and it was your turn, you'd move four spaces on the game board, and it would say, this minigame is going to be played, right? So, you would wait, like, a minute for that game board to come up, and it would be over in 30 seconds, a minute, 45 seconds, and then you would wait a minute to get back to the game board. This was on the Dreamcast. It was terrible load times. Horrible. So it ruined that game. What could have been an otherwise good game? You spent more time waiting than playing, which is no good.
No.
That's bad. So, but Mario Party 6 sounds pretty good. I think that you basically can't go wrong. What I like, you know, fans of the series anyway, and fans of these kind of games, and if you have actual friends that come over and play this kind of stuff, this is good stuff.
Yeah, you know, I can see that, but it's just 6 of them. I mean, come on. I don't know.
I don't know why I can defend this, and I can't defend 6 Grand Theft Autos, but I can defend this. Because I see it's a party game. I can see this being fun, because you can get different friends over and play it, too. You know what I mean? It's got a fairly large... Hell, it's all multiplayer replay. You know, there is a single-player thing on there, which I don't think anybody cares about. But, I mean, I don't know. Mario Party 6 got your usual host of characters, a bunch of, you know, Nintendo characters.
Right.
Mario, you're going to see Donkey Kong, you're going to see all those dudes in there. You know, yeah, they're going to be there. You know, you're going to see all those guys. They got a sun and a moon, now to go with the whole Mario thing. It may be Mario stuff, but you know what? It's still good stuff. It's still fun. It doesn't matter, you know. We may not be into it, but I think this is a solid bet, I think, for anybody that has a lot of friends who like to play console games. I really do. Really quick, I gotta mention this because this is awesome for me and for fans of the TurboGrafx-16 and all that, all the crazy PC Engine and all that garbage. Magic Engine, I forgot to mention this, Magic Engine 1.0 preview releases are out. I think he's got a preview release 7 is up there now. They're fixing just minor bugs. This is an emulator, and it's THE emulator for TurboGrafx-16 stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not free, though, like everything else is, like the Super Nintendo ones that are really good, like Z-SNES and SNES 9X, and it's not free, but it's, like, it's either $10 or $15. I actually paid for it because it is so awesome. The guy deserves, I think, you know, some kind of, you know, appreciation for his work, because this is the Uber emulator for a system, and it's fantastic. So I do own a license for it, and 1.0 Preview Release 7 is out. MagicEngine.com. It's under the CD games, it plays all kinds of stuff. And the guy has it set up so you can't play like the copies, which I respect that. You know, you get online and have you ever gone and seen some of this shit that people are trading around? The games back then were on CD, there was no CD copy protection. Mm-hmm. So what they do is there's the one data track, then there's all the audio tracks. Mm-hmm. They compress the fucking audio tracks to MP3 so you lose quality on your audio, and they zip up, you know, or RAR, whatever, the data track. They RAR the whole thing together, so you end up getting like one big ass file. That you expand that, you expand the first track, which is the data. Then you have MP3s. You convert to waves, which you lost your quality already. But they're different waves, and the emulator won't play it. It knows that you're trying to play a copy because they're not the same. They're not the discs. They're not.
So you have to own the game.
Yes, or have an exact duplicate. You know, like, you could copy the game and it would work, because, like, the MD5s, like, the fingerprints of the files would be the same, so it wouldn't know any better. But if you got a copy and it doesn't quite match, I guess it doesn't work. I've never downloaded a TurboGrafx-16 game. I don't do that piracy stuff, so I have no idea if it works or not. But what it says on the forum, I read their forums and stuff, you know,
right.
All those bad, evil pirates out there are not able to play their games, and they're pissed because they want to use the bad emulator, but it won't play their pirated games.
Right.
So when I'm pissed, there's, like, pirate keys for this going around, you know, so it's like, you know, the guy has people sending him keys that they find and download, you know, he'll ban them, you know, from the releases and whatnot, which, you know, I can respect that. That, I think, is really how it should be.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not paying for it, but, you know, hey, $15, that's fine. That's fantastic. Because it works wonders. So if you're into emulation at all, especially of your TurboGrafx 16 games, whether it's the card and you need the ROM, it'll play the ROMs, you know. But or the CD games, you need the CDs. So that's good stuff. Definitely good to remember that. Now let's slam on a game. Let's talk about GoldenEye, Rogue Agent from our friends at the sweatshop that is known as Electronic Arts. I don't know what to say about this game.
It looks like it's an okay game, but they slapped the wrong title on it. It should not even be a James Bond, a 007 game.
Yeah.
It's not a James Bond. James Bond's not even in it.
You're like the bad guy who was hired by the bad guys to go fight other bad guys or something.
Well, no, you were a good guy.
Who got kicked out because you did bad shit.
Right.
Then you were, one of the bad guys wanted you to come back or something. One of the bad guys, I think, got a hold of you somehow. I don't know. I didn't follow the story because apparently the story is razor thin and it's barely in the game at all, I guess. That's what we've been hearing.
It looks like it's an average game, but the fact that they threw this title on it totally throws it down in the
game. Yep, exactly. Minus points for slapping, you know, and not just saying 007.
GoldenEye.
You know, this is the difference. You know, this is, you can drop the 007 on a bad game.
And it's because they get away with it because they gave the guy a golden eye.
Yeah, that's weak. That is weak. When you dropped the golden eye on it, though, you lost points. You know, this is no good.
That's shady.
It is.
Totally shady because they knew what they were doing. They weren't saying, we're calling this golden eye because he has a golden eye. They threw it on there. They gave him a golden eye because of the N64 game.
Exactly. The game that was just like Uber. You know, this was bullshit. It's a heavy shooter. It is not like GoldenEye like you want to believe. It has erased the good GoldenEye, the real GoldenEye, from your memory because this has absolutely nothing to do with it. And if you ask me, has very little to do with Bond stuff anyway, other than not only the name, I guess, but you know, you've got some of the big boss enemies in there, you know?
Right.
But like, you look at the gadgets, and Bond had some fat gadgets. Bond had the shit.
Mm.
Bond had the tools, you know? And what do they have in this? They've got modern-day first-person shooter tools. They don't have, like, mines that you throw and could remotely detonate kind of thing as, like, your biggest explosive or whatnot. You know what I mean? You don't have, like, and tricky little tripwire stuff. And you don't have, like, tricky, that's what I'm looking for, tricky-type spy shit.
Mm-hmm.
You have fucking see-through walls and shoot people through walls stuff. You have retarded stuff like that. Stuff that you would see in almost any of today's first-person shooters that use some kind of modern gadget deal like that. They're not spy stuff. It's warfare stuff. And it is intense combat stuff. But they stole Halo's combat style.
Right,
they
took the dual weapons.
The dual weapons, only two at a time.
Mm.
You can't carry none of this fucking 10-weapon shit. You know, you don't get a sniper rifle and a pistol and a fucking rocket launcher and a machine gun. You get, you dual, you know, you fucking have two pistols, or a pistol and a shotgun, or a shotgun and a rocket launcher. You know, this is no good. This is no good. I think that everybody needs to steer the fuck clear of this game.
Yeah.
And if for one reason alone, they tried to swindle us.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It looks like it's a halfway mediocre, decent game.
Average, yeah.
But at the same time, we need to very much discourage this.
Exactly.
This crap of throwing names that shouldn't go on it.
Sony needs to get pimp slapped for the J boots. Sony needs to get slapped around for that too. That was bullshit. You know, these companies need to fucking not do that, okay? Because that is not cool. That is not cool at all. You do not say that it's one thing when everybody expects this and you're doing it because of that. And then it's shit.
Yeah.
That is bullshit. This game, it's out for everything, too. You can play, like, four people, I guess, on all the consoles. As much fun as four-player split-screen console first-person shooters can be.
You have to get a multi-tap for the PlayStation.
Yeah, you would have to get a multi-tap for the PlayStation. Thankfully, the Xbox and GameCube aren't retarded, and they have 4 controller ports. But the Xbox and the PS2 version, you can play online.
Right.
And I'm not 100% sure, but I could have sworn I saw that it said 8 players when you're online, 4 local, or 8 system link.
Right.
I could have sworn I saw that. It makes sense. So, but I don't know. You have to go look it up if you care, but I advise you not to even care. Don't even look. Fuck this game. What they did, that was Electronic Arts. That was lame, okay? And there's 20 multiplayer maps, and as far as the maps go, from what I found, there was like, it sounds like there's about 20, but less than 30 levels. I can't be sure. It sounded like there was like 8 real levels,
mm-hmm.
like 7 or 8 real levels with subsections of each one that is like that would be like a full level.
Right.
So you're not seeing a whole lot of diversity in the levels. You're seeing like 7 levels or however the hell many it was. It's not many. It's less than 10. And sections within those levels.
Right.
So, you know, you're not going to see a whole lot of stuff. But 20 multiplayer maps, hopefully they have maybe different environments, but I doubt it. You know, it's parts from the game that are just yeah. like every other part from the single player part
probably
of the game.
Probably like 10 of each or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So, or 5 each or whatever. Right. Yeah. Something like that. 2.5. Yeah. So, the videos look cool. The videos look pretty neat. The little pre-rendered animation stuff.
Mm.
But there didn't look like there was much of a game there. And even the graphics did not look like you would expect. Like, I expected some really mind-blowing stuff. And the videos that we saw a long time ago, the graphics looked better. And now that we've saw gameplay footage of it, though, like not like EA trailer footage. We
right.
saw gameplay footage. And it looks bad.
Well, you have to give it a little bit because recently we've seen a lot of really good looking
yeah, we're
games.
Comparing to like Halo and Half-Life 2, Halo 2.
And you were seeing those movies a long time ago, plus they were rendered on really top-notch machines.
That's true.
On the developer kits and...
Yeah, yeah. Stuff is going to just be amazing. But this was just no good. I'm going to say that this is... Steer clear. I don't even want to rent it. I don't even care to rent this game. So, screw that. Okay, now what else did we have for good games, though? We had some good shit come out. Oh, Prince of Persia, Warrior Within.
This looks like a really good game. I'm personally a little disappointed that they went veered a little more towards the combat and kind of... Apparently they didn't really not do the jumping stuff, but it's not really the focus anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, with Sands of Time, the jumping puzzles... Because normally I hate jumping puzzles. I mean, any kind of FPS where it's not really the focus.
Well, in a first-person shooter, they blow. But yeah. in a platform or third-person view, jumping puzzles come naturally.
Right, but this was the ultimate in jumping puzzles. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd be sitting there in this room, and you got to get up to the top or something, and there's all these crazy wall running and going across the pillars and
yeah,
this, that, and the other. And it was just solid fun.
It's what I've seen of it. It it's not jumping puzzles like quick jumpers. It's not like,
Huah!
And you have your one jump animation and you land on the block. No. This guy rolls and flips and spins. The animation was outstanding. And the graphics, not only of the videos, the videos are aside. Okay, videos can look as good as videos can, as fucking Hollywood movies, if not better. Okay, but the gameplay itself, not only was it extremely smooth, extremely well animated, top-notch looking graphics. It looked badass. I was, blown away. I want to play this game so bad right now. I mean, it looks amazing. I actually had some things in my notes. Bunch of slick moves, dual-wielding swords.
Right, and you can throw the secondary weapon.
Really?
The first one is they're like, there's like 7 of them.
Yeah,
and you
like
progress.
The primary ones, yeah.
The primary one, you progress in better and better swords. And then there's like, he said something like 60-something.
Yeah.
60-something secondary weapons that you can pick up and use, and if you see something better, you can throw it at an enemy and then pick up a new one.
Can't you take their weapons too?
Yeah,
you
can
kill
disarm
them and take their weapons.
Disarm the guy.
That is badass. This game looks really, really good. Any platformer fan, this I think is where the platformer should be.
Mm-hmm.
Not crap like what we have now. You know, this is where I think that the platformer should be. You've got some awesome boss fights in this. I guess they went with more bosses in this one as opposed to just, like, I guess, like, one major boss and then a bunch of levels in the other one. In the Warrior, or what was the first one called? Sands of Time? Yeah. I guess they added more time skills. Now, I guess that one allowed you to, like, rewind time or some shit.
No, I don't think they added any more. I think they made them all more useful.
Oh, okay. Oh, you had a bunch of different skills.
Yeah, you could slow down time, rewind time.
Oh, good. Bullet time is still there, though. As long as we have bullet time, we know it's a game from 2004. What?
Well, apparently it was looking like there's a lot of places where bullet time is really necessary. Like,
oh, I'm sure it is.
There's this one place where I was watching the video, and there's this giant blade fan thing
that's going really fast. Yeah.
You have to slow down time so you can jump through it.
Yeah, that's...
Things like that.
Yeah, that's good. A lot of traps, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they had... Oh my god, you remember where he jumps across a giant hole in the ground, right? You're in some kind of like tunnel. He jumps over a hole in the ground, the door's closing, he dives through the door, he rolls into the room, and there's this blade swinging around this post right in front of the door though. So he jumps over this thing, dives through the door, jumps up on the wall, runs across the fucking wall over this blade. I mean, I was just like,
and that's how the first one was too.
Yeah, that is fucking awesome.
So, and then if you happen to get hit by that blade, you can rewind time and then try again. And that was another really cool thing, because if there's like this big hole and you missed and you fell and you died, you don't have to sit there and load and retry it again. You can rewind just that little section where you screwed up and try again.
Nice. This looks solid. This looks very solid. Here's a game that I think a lot of people should be getting for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really do. This game looks like good stuff here. One of the ones I don't think is taking the right direction is Jak 3.
I would have to agree. I think they took a completely wrong direction with Jak 2, and they're...
Yeah, I guess I never played it.
I loved Jak and Daxter. I had a blast with Jak and Daxter. I thought it was an absolutely brilliant, platformer. Very common. I mean, there wasn't anything really super special, but it was done quite well. But the second one, they brought in this whole GTA thing, and it just didn't work in my opinion. And all these guns and stuff, and it didn't quite fly for me. And then the third one, they seem to have kind of taken a combination of the two, it almost looks, which is good.
Yeah, like you don't have that wandering around the cities and stuff anymore. I guess there's teleporters or some shit to take you where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think they're taking it back in a little bit of a better direction than they took it with two.
That's what it sounds like. Now, I'm not a fan of these at all, so I haven't even played any of them at all. I just keep seeing them, and I'm just wondering why anybody would want to play these kind of games. Like, if I was faced with all of these platformers, the ones that I would end up playing that I think have the best, like, story and the most fun and the best controls and all that shit and the best camera, absolutely important, Prince of Persia, and Sly. The Sly Cooper games own me. These games are just, they're nuts. And I'm so pissed that I can't pull myself away from Evercrack for 5 minutes to fucking go finish off Sly Cooper 2. I'm like 35% through it. So much fun. Burnout 3, 70% through it or so. Incredible fun, but I can't pull myself away because I'm not getting anywhere. Sure, it's fun to race around. I did them all, though. I've seen every level. You know, I just haven't done all the events in it. I don't need to finish it. Sly, I'm dying, though. I'm dying to see the rest of the stuff. Good stuff, but much better looking than Jak 3, though. This one, they had some kind of... I guess, what happened to this? Did you beat the second one, or...?
No, I had to put it down.
They had some kind of, like, ooh. Ooh. I didn't know that. Ouch. Did they have... Okay, so they had some kind of, like, evil, good and evil deal going on now? Wasn't he, like, all evil in number two or something? Or, like, more evil or something happened?
There's this stuff called Eco, which is, like, kind of like mana.
Okay.
But different types. You have, like life mana, and dark mana, and light mana, and fire mana, and whatever.
Okay.
Eco. And in the beginning of the second one, he gets, like... infused with this dark Eco. So it's not that he's really evil, but the powers that were he got from them are a little more on the demonic side. They're a little...
I see.
Okay. He's not evil, but the powers he gained from being infused with that.
Because I remember seeing in this one, in Jak 3, he had light and dark powers now.
Right.
Like, he could fly around. You remember that he sprouted wings as a light power and was able to, like, float, kind of, not very far, but...
Whereas the dark Eco, he turns into this, like, crazy... demon thing.
Jesus. That sounds kind of cool, but I'm getting a little tired of seeing... Mario Party's got the light in the dark now. Jack's got this. They're taking it from Ikaruga. There was so many games all of a sudden that thought, oh, Metroid Prime, Echoes. All of a sudden they're like, you know what? We need more gameplay. Let's make a good and evil player now. I don't know why I'm seeing this all of a sudden. Or not even so much good and evil, just black and white. Just, it's weird. I don't know. You used to have two different characters. You used to have Solid Snake and then whatever the other dude's name was, you know, or whatever. You know, you used to have Sonic and Knuckles.
Right.
Now you got, like, Cyber Sonic, who's, you know, or whatever. You know, they have some kind of a weird, like, melding of the two going on here. It's kind of freaking me out, man. I'm scared to sleep at night. I'm going to wake up evil one day. Or maybe I'm going to wake up good. It's freaking me out. You had, I can't even read some of my notes in this game. You still had all the vehicles. Like, there was a lot of, like, side or mini game type things in Jack 3 that we saw, like
racing,
and yeah, racing and flying. Whether it was on the ground with a hoverboard, with a dune buggy, with an airship, with a hovercraft, all kinds of crazy looking stuff. And then in the next instance, you're sitting in a turret blowing shit out of the sky. And in the next scene, you're back to the racing. And the next one, you were doing some other ridiculous thing. And that kind of gets on my nerves a little bit because you're not skilled at those things. You're not, the game isn't all that, so you're, you know what I mean, you're used to the jumping around and slashing, and you're getting good at it, then all of a sudden you have to learn how to pilot this craft in 10 seconds before you blow up, and get good at it. It's a little rough.
I kind of like that, as long as they do it well. A lot of times, in fact, most times, they tend to kind of not do any of it well.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, or maybe only one aspect, like the main part of it, like the Jack jumping around with the guns and whatnot. Maybe they do that well, and then they end up doing everything else kind of half-assed because they're throwing it all in. But if they do it right, it's actually really good because it puts a lot of variety into the gameplay.
And, yeah, it does.
And as long as it's all tied together well, but that's a hard thing to do.
It is. And you know who doesn't tie it together very well was Sly Cooper 1. The first game, you had these occasional missions where you would be shooting things or you would be driving something around, but the gameplay was right on. And this is what I wanted to say about Jack's thing. I pray for their sake, it's simple. Okay, because when you're looking at the manual, you know, or the button configuration, there's, you know, 18 buttons on your controller or whatever, 25 things you gotta do for the normal game. And you're used to it and you're trying as hard as you can to remember what every button does and get good at it. When all of a sudden now you gotta pilot some craft, the pilot's entirely different than some other craft, you know, and you gotta relearn the controls, and if you've got 48 different things to press now, you're screwed. In Sly Cooper, it was simple. You got, you know, like, all of a sudden you would be doing a race, which made, you know, very little sense. They did have a little story for it, so at least explained why you were there, but it was just weird out in the middle of the enemy's place, you're racing the enemies now, you know. But you had the steering, and you had gas and brake and turbo. Nice and simple. You had the shooting ones where you use the sticks. One moves you, one aims your gun while you float around and shoot things. Nice and simple, it's not hard to figure out. The turret ones. You're in the turret, one aims, and you have a button to shoot. Nice and simple. That, I think, is where they're going correct. The problem is working it into the game. It didn't seem like it worked in Sly 1. Like, I would play them and feel so out of place. It was a nice break from what you were doing, though, but it wasn't explained well enough to make it a lick of sense. But in Sly 2, they did a good job. It made sense.
It was forgivable enough because, A, it wasn't every other level. There was like four or five things in the whole game that
in
were like
Sly?
That.
Yeah, in Sly there was very few, yeah.
And so it was kind of forgivable.
But in a game like this where it looks like there's a ton, it better be easy to play each one. Unless you do you do them like 5 or 6 or 12 times throughout the game. You know, then I guess it can get complicated. But then it feels like you're learning to play like 5 different games. Fuck that. I don't know who has that kind of time. But, like in Sly 2, okay. Now, I don't know how they do it in Jack and Daxter, or Jack 3. But in Sly 1, you were just going level to level, and then all of a sudden you would do a race level. And then all of a sudden you would do a shoot level. And it just didn't work, but it was a nice break from the monotony. It was simple, but it didn't work. It wasn't well integrated into the story, I thought, or the level or anything. But in Sly 2, the one that stands out, like that I'm sure there was more I did, but I can't remember. But like, you're in the jungle, and there's like a waterfall in the background, and you're climbing up this, he's like in a hidden temple out in the forest somewhere, right? So picture like ancient Aztec, you know, out in the forest, ruins, and the guy's hidden in there somewhere, and you can't get him to come out. and there's like a waterfall and a dam and all this shit in the background. Well, this the one that really was well done was a mission where you were thinking, how do I get the guy out? Well, flood the place. So you go blow up the dam, and helicopters, you know, for the enemy come flying over the dam and fly up on you. While you're shooting them out of the sky, you're shooting the dam, trying to weaken the dam in a turret, though, or in a helicopter or some shit. And you're shooting the helicopters away, and then you're shooting the dam when you're not getting shot at. Blow a couple helicopters away, back to the dam. And it's, you know, it's all one thing. You're just as fast as you can shoot. You're going back and forth. Really well done. It made sense with the story, and it affected the game and everything. It was really awesome. That's the trick, I think, is making it... Yeah, exactly. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I pray for Jack 3's sake that that's how it works. What the hell movie did you say you watched?
We have more games, though.
No, we don't. Oh, KOTOR 2.
We have another one after that, though, don't we? What was it?
Prince of Persia, Jack 3,
oh, I guess
GoldenEye, Mario Party 6, KOTOR 2.
KOTOR 2 is out. I had heard rumors that it was not very good, but apparently it is. It's essentially more of the same, though. I mean, they did a few things that are different. The graphics are all the same. In fact, I was watching movies, and they used the same models for a lot of the NPCs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I saw plenty of NPCs that were literally the same models as from the first one.
When did the first one come out?
Last year? The year before?
Yeah, that's why. That was a pretty quick rush then.
Yeah. They did add some kind of extra class thing, like in the first one you picked I think you had two choices, or was it just one? I think it might have just
I'm completely drawing a blank on everything. I'm like staring off into space going, yeah, this game blows.
I can't really remember, but I'm sure I'll get letters. But you You made a choice like you were going to be more melee or a mixture of the two or more sort force powers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, after you choose those in the second one, then depending on if you're light or dark, and then which one of those three you picked, you're going to have three options again.
Okay.
To kind of mold your class
into what you want. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
You also don't become light or dark throughout the entire story. You almost basically just pick.
Mm.
Which is an interesting choice because, that was like one of the big things about KOTOR is, oh, you get to make your character throughout the whole game.
Yeah, you're light or dark. Fable, your choices, you know, depend on how
and
you
I guess out. That it does that a little bit, and then later in the game you can switch. But you make a solid choice towards the beginning, and then if you want to switch later,
like you got
a very difficult process.
Yeah, you got to work towards it.
All in all, it looks pretty good. If you liked the first one, I'm sure you'll like the second one.
You think it has like Game of the Year contender like the first one did?
I don't.
No?
I think it's too much like the first one.
And that's what it sounds like.
And anything like that doesn't deserve Game of the Year if it's just... Riding on the coattails of its prequel.
Yeah, but if it's just that much fun, look at like Burnout 3. Okay, it's just like all the rest. It's got crashes and cars, you know. Yet somehow, like
that's the simplicity of it, though.
You know. Well, you know,
there's. I mean, obviously, a second to a game is going to be much like the first
obviously,
one.
Obviously, yeah,
but. It depends on how much you improve and what you improve, and it seems to me like they did not do a whole lot new. It's basically the same game with a few extra things, a few extra force powers, and a new story.
I'd like to find out and hear from people that loved the first one that are playing the second one and see what they think. Because sometimes that works really well, and sometimes you can get away with it. I mean, like, I think about Doom. You go from Doom to Doom 2, they added a shotgun with two barrels. That's the only difference, right? And yet, it was insanely popular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Doom 1 was nuts, but yet everybody played Doom 2.
And at the same time, I am a big fan of if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a nice balance between
yeah.
bringing something new to the table
yeah.
while not screwing up what was good about the
exactly.
old.
Exactly. They could have screwed up like Sly Cooper 2 so bad. And they improved just the right things to make it, a better game than the first one. Now that I've really sunk my teeth into the second one, they did a, you know, way, it was vastly improved, yet the same. You know, you get all mostly the same moves, but they added some guys that aren't
that's
terrible.
The trick.
They made the world more real. Not like the Jackroot where they said, okay, let's make it a world that makes no sense to be in this world and take this game's engine just because. You know, or this style just because. That doesn't work. Mm. You can try it, it might. But you're gonna risk it, you know. So
well, and I think they're not risking it.
That's the worst part. They think they've got gold, you know. Let's take some other company's idea, slap our characters in it. It's like, could you imagine like a Mario Grand Theft Auto? I could see them.
You know, oh, I'd play that for days.
You know?
I would. I so would.
Well, they could probably do it mostly right though. You know what I mean? They could, like, you wouldn't be hijacking cars, but I'm sure you could like roll up on a turtle shell and just jump on it, you know, and cruise around the world and check shit out. It might work out pretty well. Like Mario 64, you know, you had a central hub world. You could wander around the real world. It wasn't huge, but you know, you had little missions on the side and, you know, you take out the clear-cut missions, though, and blend them into one giant world, you'd have a fat game.
No, they need to do it full GTA style, like Mario with a minigun just blowing people down.
No, oh, my God. That was a bad idea. That was a bad idea.
Oh, no, I'd play that for days, just out of the comedy factor.
Yeah, well, yeah, that'd be pretty funny. Also. I mean, could you see something terrible happening, like a shame? Like, it would be a shame to see Metal Gear Solid go that route.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That would just suck.
That's the big problem with all these people doing the GTA things is it doesn't fit for every genre.
It quits for Grand Theft Auto.
Quit trying to pigeonhole it into all forms of games.
Yeah. I mean, even Need for Speed Underground 2. Hey, here's an idea.
Let's give it a big world.
Let's take that's retarded, okay? You guys went from, like, racing game of the year to something people are laughing at, you know? I mean, what come on, alright, get over it. That's Electronic Arts, isn't it? Good job, guys. That was really using your noggin there. Could you imagine being at that meeting? Guys, I've got it. We take Grand Theft Auto, and we give it fat cars, but take out all the Grand Theft Auto part of it.
Right.
Okay. Now, if they added guns, and like 32-player multiplayer, we'd have a game. You'd have a pretty cool game. You know, it'd be like
guns on the cars.
Yeah, it'd be like Twisted Metal, but without the suck. You know, you'd have to like rearrange some of the maps, like the city, to be more arena like though.
Yeah.
But you know, but like, oh, and your car could blow up, and you could totally get out of your car though and go steal another one. It'd be like there's some kind of like Road Warrior movie or Death Race 2000 or some shit like that.
Probably.
That'd be awesome. So, all right, we got to get on with the movies now. We're down to like 15 minutes. So,
all right. Well, I saw What the Bleep Do We Know? And written, it's like an at sign number.
Yeah, number yeah, sign crazy. Yeah.
And basically, it's like half documentary, half fiction movie thing. And I thought it was incredibly interesting because it's about it has basically two sections that these guys are talking about. And the first part is about quantum physics and how It's totally untrue that matter is always here and stays and it moves and matter can be in multiple places at the same time and all kinds of crazy stuff about that. One of the really cool things that I was listening to that I thought was cool is apparently, well, all our emotions are generated by chemicals. The brain goes, okay, I want to feel this emotion, so then the pituitary gland goes, okay, and sends out that chemical, and the cells pick it up and whatnot. And if, let's say you're depressed a lot, and,
you're me from about 15 years ago, or 10 years ago.
And then the cells are picking up a lot of that depressive chemical.
That's good stuff, though.
I'd have to agree, it's terrible.
It's good stuff, yeah, though, man. You just, like, sit there, and you're just like, ah. I'm never gonna move again, and I'm happy. I'm gonna sit on the couch and rot. Life sucks.
And that's you get addicted to it.
Yeah, because it does feel good. Or you think it does.
Right. And that'll happen with any... It happens with anger or any other emotion. And so your cells start picking up a lot of that chemical. It becomes addicted to that chemical. And so when the cell splits and divides, the new cell has more receptors for that chemical and less receptors for all the others, as well as less receptors for intaking nutrition and sending out the waste. And so that's one of the big reasons why we age, according to this group of people. And so our bodies are actually designed to live a lot longer than we are, because we all get addicted to these chemicals.
Well, that sounds like a really cool movie to watch.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was quite interesting. You would learn a lot, but you would see the crowd nodding their heads and everybody's faking it. Yeah, I understood what he said.
Well, they do a real good job of not going over your head.
I should hope so. Being like a very scientific subject and then trying to put it into like mainstream media for, you know, us retards of the world.
I was looking at some reviews and they're all, this movie's so stupid, they're not giving any facts to their examples to their facts and this. And I'm like, dude,
that's
if
why
you're sitting and watching this documentary on fucking quantum physics.
Yeah.
And you want
you know better, right? Siskel knows better than quantum physicists. Why, right?
Well, and they want him to give, like, examples and facts and all this other stuff, and I'm thinking that you want to watch an hour and a half lecture on quantum physics.
They would tear that up, too.
Yeah. I thought they did a pretty good job of saying, this is what it's all about, and this is why we think, but we're not going to give you all this high technical mumbo jumbo that's...
It's not going to do you any good. You're not going to know what
college level.
Exactly. You're not going to know what the hell they're talking about anyway.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, I thought it was pretty cool. Definitely an interesting watch. Probably not worth the $8.75 that I paid for.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's getting expensive these days.
I bet they're blaming piracy.
Of course they are. But I would definitely go see if you can rent this or whatever when it comes out. And if you're into quantum physics and all that stuff, I think it's incredibly interesting.
Yeah, that sounds good. This sounds like one of those things, though, that's going to hit the torrent sites real quick, because I noticed that stuff like that shows up a lot and gets a lot of downloads because people think they're way smarter than they really are. Seriously, man. There's like you'll come across like PBS specials on fucking quantum physics and you know, the latest in what's going on in research on space and time and matter. And it's like, these are the same clowns that are downloading Doom. You know, and they're just like, oh, I gotta have it, you know, and I'm just sitting there, my mind is blown. This isn't like researchers, you know, cruising over to some, you know, high profile torrent site, grabbing a torrent for their pirate their latest, you know, research in geek fucking media or whatever, you know, for their little circle of people, you know, and grabbing a copy of, you know, the latest PC game that's out or whatever. You know, this is the same guys that are downloading Survivor episodes, you know, and the latest PC and console games that are going, oh, I gotta watch this because I'm a genius. I know how to install a crack, you know, for a game. You know, I'm a fucking genius. I see it all the time and I can't figure it out. It has just as many downloads as some of that other shit. You know, I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you guys? Now, I'm one of them too, but I think it's interesting to sit and watch, and I'm like, you know, I learn a few things from it, but I'm just as bad as the rest. All right. So, moving along. What else did you see now? Did you see something else or was...
No.
I thought you said you saw two movies. Okay, I got to see something I have been dying to watch for days. And you gotta take this with a grain of salt because I'm a whore for this series. I'm gonna get laughed at. Alright, I love the Chucky series, okay? It's good stuff, alright? And this was... We knew this was coming because Chucky and Tiffany, the other doll that was the evil chick doll, right? His wife and that, or whatever she was, like, girlfriend.
Bride of Chucky.
Yeah. It was in Bride of Chucky. And then at the end of it, remember, she got pregnant? Well, this one opens up, and they did not do a good job of explaining how the kid comes around. Like, all of this, like, it just opens up, and it's all about the kid. And then there's, like, a couple sentences they throw at you that, like, let you make up the story and just kind of fill in the pieces. It's really, like, what the shit happened in between? Is there a movie I missed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really felt like there was something wrong there. But you get over it kind of quick because it's just so stupid. Which is why I like these, because they're funny and dumb and just ridiculous. But they're funny, though. They're really good. Basically, it's the same thing, though. You've got, you know, Chucky and Tiffany and their dolls, and, you know, they were humans that transferred their spirit into these dolls, and they're mass murderers and shit. And basically, their son doesn't know why he's such a creep. He thinks he's a real normal person, and he is. He's like a person. He's like, well, he's a doll, but he thinks he's like a person, you know, and, like, doesn't know anything about his parents. So he runs across, like, Chucky and Tiffany are on a TV show now. It's like a really popular movie, making of the movie of the legend of these dolls. So they had the fucking dolls, you know, in the movie. So the kid is watching TV, you know. He's like a circus freak, though. Literally, that's what he does. And sees his parents on TV.
But he's an adult now.
No, he doesn't really age. He's a doll like them, but he's like a freaky-looking doll. He's ugly. They call him Shitface. That's his name.
But he's off on his own?
Well, he's been captured by some dude who uses him for the circus as a ventriloquist doll. Right?
Okay.
So he sees his parents on TV and escapes from the guy who abuses him and whatnot. And he finds out where his parents are, and he brings them back to life on accident. The medallion, if anybody knows, that Chucky had with the Abi Dabu Dembala, you know, his little chant on it, right. He's got it. It's like the one thing that he had when he was born that was like to trace him back to his parents. So he had that, took it there, couldn't figure out what to do, you know, didn't realize his parents were dolls though, you know, it was just like, what's mom, dad, what's going on? They're just laying there, but they're dolls at that point, right? So then he goes ahead and he reads off the words, and of course, you know, the parents come back to life and slaughtering everybody all of a sudden. Now the kid is used to a way of life that is, you know, abuse, you know, very, very much full of abuse, and like he's like a circus freak, you know, and he doesn't know anything better, doesn't know anything else. But he knows that killing things is bad. Well, his parents love killing stuff, which is what, I mean, it's such a good fucking movie, you're just watching it going, this is so ridiculous, you know? So they bring in the whole, we should stop killing. You know, the kid's like, you know, let's not do that. And they're like, well, we're parents now. We should work to be good parents, you know? And then, like Chucky and the kid, like, his name's, they name him something. I can't remember what it is. It's like, Gabe or something, or I can't remember what the hell it is now. Anyway, so he's out with Chucky, and they kill some dude, and he's like, don't tell your mom. So then the kid later on's with the mom, and they kill somebody, don't tell your dad. Then they find out, and there's like this whole big argument, and Jennifer Tilly is in it, right? Who's the voice of Tiffany, but she's in it as herself, too. So there's one point where she's on the phone with, and like the real Jennifer Tilly's on the phone in real life with her assistant or some shit, but the doll, Tiffany is doing Jennifer's doing the voice for Tiffany the doll, is on, picked up the phone in the house. So they're having a conversation, and Tiffany's filling in words for Jennifer, and then she makes some kind of comment like, I don't sound like that. And she goes, yes, I do. I mean, yes, you do. Yeah, it's the same lady. It's pretty funny. There's a lot of dumb shit like that in it, though. So if you don't have a high tolerance for stupid shit, you're not going to like it. Mm. I love Chucky. I liked it so much when I was a kid. I remember when the third one was coming out. The book was out before the movie, and I read the book. I was that into it, you know. I don't know why.
There were books?
There was books. But you need to go in expecting, like, a B horror flick funny movie. You need to prime yourself. Watch some Army of Darkness before you go watch this, and you'll be set. It's a pretty good movie, but it's not like fantastic. And I want to go as far as to say that it's like a $5 out of 8, but I'm gonna have to go with a 4. And I'm gonna
have to bump it up to 8.75 now, though.
Oh yeah, okay. So we're still gonna go with the 5. Okay, the 4.75. I feel better about a 4.75 than I do about a 4. Because I really enjoyed it. I really did. But I like those movies, so a lot of people are going to hate them. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty good. I thought it was well worth watching, worth about 4.75 then. I'd definitely go rent it. I want to check out the DVD, though, to see what kind of extra bullshit they have on there. Right. Though that might bump it up a notch if you're looking to buy it and you're kind of in that stuff. But not too bad. Not too bad of a movie at all. And until next week, we got a bunch of Christmas crap coming up. Yeah. Best of the year. What to buy for the...
Maybe even a worst of the year.
Maybe... you know what I want to mention since you mentioned it? YankeeDank.com. YankeeDank.com. He's already got one episode. He started a show. Gamers Radio. And what's funny, because I was going to ask for this for Christmas. In our Christmas show, I was going to say the one thing I want. is another show that I can listen to about games. Well, we got one now. So it's and he's only they're working on it. He's got like one episode out now, but it's like a it was just him, the co-host guy or whatever, his buddies or whatever couldn't be there, so it was just him warming up or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was episode half, you know, not quite ready to roll. Yeah, you know, he's actually pretty good. He's got a good radio voice too. And it was actually working out really well. Lots of news though, just because they hadn't got the ball rolling yet. They were, you know, working out the kinks. You know, it took us like 20 episodes to get it even somewhat stabilized and the technical end of it even decent to where it's not hard to hear and listen to us.
Right.
So good stuff though. It's called Gamers Radio. Definitely got to go check that. I'll have to mention it at the beginning of the show next time because I bet everybody tuned out when we started talking about EverQuest. So
the show is a wash.
You know, yeah, probably. That's all right. They're probably playing their own MMORPG and just not admitting to it. That's what I think's going on.
I think so too.
So we'll be back. We got three more shows this month.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a Christmas treat for the listeners. All righty, we're done.